as the music was playing, I was talking to Jackie, who composes the music, and was telling me how she works with the singers to work on the lyrics, trying to get a better sense of what's local, what's really reflects the locale, and what's more general, universal, obviously, as Steve talked about the need for a template to make this all possible. But how do you actually go about putting all of that together, and how do you conceive of the various pieces?
For the music, I work with the ensemble that I have in Squonk Opera, so that doesn't change from place to place. And but actually something interesting we're doing here in Albany that we haven't done yet is we're bringing some local people on stage to participate in the music with us. So some of the students there, the chamber singers, will be on stage with us for a scene, and I wrote a four-part harmony for them so that they could sing along with us. And we also have some members of the percussion ensemble coming to play some drums with us. But as we're working on the scenes, Steve and I will, and Buzz, all three of us, work independently, and then we come together, and it's sort of a back and forth. So it's really fun for me as a composer that it's not like in most theater where the director comes to the composer and says, I need music for this scene and this scene and this scene, and I need it to sound like this, and I need it to be 2 minutes and 45 seconds long. I mean, I have a lot more freedom to do pretty much what I'd like to do for the show and what I think would best express the concepts in the show. And so I'll bring it to Steve, and he'll say, sounds great, or he'll say, oh, what's that? Or and I do the same with him with design, so we go back and forth.
So sometimes the piece of music will actually inspire a scene that we respond with, and sometimes vice versa.
And the piece that you just heard, A Town Revealed, is the first sort of full ensemble piece that we play in the show. And the lyrics, of course, you probably heard, are very simple. It's just pretty much, here we are in this place. And so I just wanted to set the tone that we're in this place, and we're going to explore this place for the next hour and a half.
And Buzz, do you want to?
No.
Okay, because you moved forward with the microphone. I was wondering.
I do have one thing to add to what Jackie was saying. She was saying that this is the first time that local musicians, or in this case Albanians, are going to be on stage performing in other areas where we've done this show, in other incarnations of this hometown show. We've had local dance groups come up and dance through some of the numbers.
And the musical bits, the bringing them, the university students on stage, are just wonderful. And I think they're in great part due to the ambitious plans of Kim and Pat over at the University of Albany Performing Arts Center.
Kim being Kim Engel.
Yes, indeed.
And Pat being Pat Furlow, the the director and associate director of the Performing Arts Center at the University of Albany.
Yes, that's correct.
And I'm sorry, I just want to say one more thing about the music, and that is that the music is part of the template, so that the music doesn't change from place to place. And we talked about that in the beginning of creating this show. How do we want to address the musical flavor of a city, and decided that we couldn't really do it justice. So if Albany has a particular type of music that it's known for, it really wouldn't be our business to portray that. We're there to give them some squonk music.
The music itself, though, you said that you work with a template, and you do have some songs that represent sort of industrial sounds, because cities and communities are built on industry, or were built on industry. I think that you may have to find some new tracks to represent the new type of industry, in quotes,
right,
going on. One of the things we talked about when you came to visit us was what type of industry did Albany have in this region? Give us a sense of this industry. And I think, you do have the music, at least one or two pieces on this. In your performance that really represents that, and is that what was in your mind when you composed? I'm thinking of Belly Full of Fire.
Yeah, we wanted to have one scene in the show that dealt with industry. I think usually an industry that's dying. Is that right, Steve?
Yeah, and we mostly toured the Mid-Atlantic and what we affectionately call the Rust Belt, and so many of those industries were heavy industries.
So in Pittsburgh, it was very easy. It was the steel industry. And so we have some industrial sounds in the piece, some percussive sounds. And the music overall, I think, is very melancholy. And the interview that precedes that scene in Pittsburgh is actually my father, who worked in the steel mills for a while. So he's talking about the closing of the mills.
It's interesting when I, as a historian, come and talk about industrial history. I mean, a lot of people, PR people, people in the business community, sort of, they don't want to hear about the decline of their community. They want to talk about the new company that's moving in, or the new industry, the hope that's coming to the community. And here you're talking about history. You're talking about a past that's lost or that's being lost. What response do you get from audiences to those, quote, historical themes that are about decline, if any?
One of the things I wanted to say, and maybe Buzz can talk about it, when we did the show in Chester County, he interviewed someone who was talking about both the death of an industry or of a Main Street culture, but then also how it's changed in a positive way. So we do sort of go back and forth, depends on the people that we interview. If you want to say something about him, Buzz.
Buzz, just let me say, Chester County where?
Oh, Pennsylvania. County,
Pennsylvania. Very near Philadelphia.
So instead of tackling a city, we tackled a whole county at that point. The flavor of Belly Full of Fire changes each time we go to a new city, a new host area. In Pittsburgh, you know, we use mill footage in the background as the interviewee was talking about working in the mills and that sort of thing. And the first place we did this show was College Park, Maryland. They also co-commissioned and paid for, you know, the development of Pittsburgh, the opera, knowing that it was going to come to Chester or to College Park. But in the interviews there, we realized that there was a really profound bit of text that came out of an interview from this guy who runs the College Park Airport, which is the longest continuously running airport in the world. And since 9/11, the traffic at that airport has been really significantly reduced. And you know, the way he told it was a lot better than telling it right now. And I thought, oh man, if I could get some old archival footage of this airport, that would be ideal. This would be Belly Full of Fire. And we were able to get that from the director of the College Park Airport Museum, which is sort of the sister organization of the airport itself. But then when we went to Chester County, we were looking around to, you know, what kind of old footage or what interview was really going to make the character of that Belly Full of Fire piece. And I went to this barbershop right on the main street in Kennett Square, which was the town in which we were playing at the high school. And this barber was really rich and, you know, a perfect documentary subject, but I wasn't sure how that would work into the otherwise, you know, stark black backgrounds and talking heads that we use for our interviews. And we had also heard that there was some old archival footage of Kennett Square back from the 40s or something like that. And it turns out there was this filmmaking back in the day called itinerant filmmaking, back when filmmaking was just sort of getting its business legs or something like that. And there was a company that would go from town to town creating something called, or these little movies where they'd solicit funds from the local businesses and that sort of thing. And they titled this series See Yourself and Your Town in the Movies. And it's not that much unlike what we're doing, you know, See Your Town in the Opera. That was a pretty fascinating thing. We wound up using that footage and this barber leading into it, his interview leading into it. So the character of that changes very much. And I guess if you want to call it an industry, it would be the service industry that's changed significantly in Chester County over the years.
And I think to go back to your original question, that I guess some people could perceive those scenes as being sort of downers, but we all have a love of this historical footage through video. And in Pittsburgh, there are people who would love for all the mills to be torn down, but there are others of us who appreciate the beauty of them. And even artists in Pittsburgh who break into the mills and build pieces of art made out of the remnants, all the trash sitting around. So we definitely are of that camp.
I think there's definitely a sadness to the changes that cultures and societies and cities go through. and that it's wonderful. And for instance, in Pittsburgh, we're just starting to get to the point, I think, where mainstream people recognize this is something to celebrate, that we can at some point get comfortable with our history and celebrate a town full of smoke and roaring furnaces and huge steel structures.
Yes, it makes for a very colorful history, which we enjoy.
As much as we like coffee houses.
One thing, we've talked a little bit sort of around, but since we are on the radio and your performance piece is really very visual, very multiple media, can you give us, you've sort of hinted at it in your discussion of the talking about the archival footage and talking about the music, but can you kind of give us a quick word picture of someone walks in the
How about a belly full of fire? Because we've got that queued up, so we can.
Right, and what are they going to be seeing? And you know, what's the experience like?
So this is just a talking head. If we're going to play Belly Full of Fire, so this is just a citizen of Pittsburgh talking, who happens to be Jackie's dad. And
maybe we should play the actual interview and then the Belly Full of Fire.
Sure. Why let me talk about it?
Okay. You want to set the stage for the interview, or just a little bit more, or just play it?
I think let's just play it.
Okay, we'll just play it.
I worked in the United States Steel in the Homestead Works, and I worked for a good while for Westinghouse Electric Corporation. And all the stories I had, all the fun that the young men that we all had together, just teasing and torturing each other, I'll never forget it. I remember the sadness of when those mills closed, and walking through them, those empty buildings, I was one of the last to go, and it was awful. I come down a pair of steps, and there was initials carved in the steps that said, Ball, 1943, or something like that. And that stood out, because you couldn't see that when the shop was working hard and stuff like that, and everybody was running around. But in that quiet, dark, gigantic building, I seen all that stuff, and it was something.
Before we heard that, I started out by asking, give us a little bit of a word picture. And I think that that starts to, we hear the interview, we hear the music. What are you seeing? How does this look as you're watching all of this on stage?
In that scene, there's just two musicians center stage with Buzz's video. This usually has archival video, so this has some old footage from the steel mill in Pittsburgh. Here in Albany, it may well be your mall being created and the old neighborhoods torn down to create that. So we're thinking about that for the scene here. So it just has old footage and two musicians playing. So it's really kind of stripped down. And the only inherent drama is the subject.
So in this part, first there would be the interview that would feed into it or segue into it. And then we'd be listening to this music with the images. And that's where some of your multiple media comes in.
The beauty of old black and white film images. You know, nowadays most of what we see is, you know, the stark color, the cold, stark color of video.
Okay, folks, we're gonna take a break for our audio question.